Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our trivia questions come to us today from Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Plunges into Music. Question number one, which country has the city with the highest per capita ownership of pianos? Is that in A, China, B, the USA, C, Germany, or D, Italy? Piano Paradise, in which country is that city located anyway? And question number two, what did 7-Eleven stores in Canada and the USA use to keep juveniles from loitering in front of their stores? Was it A, air raid sirens? Was it B, frying Brussels sprouts? Was it C, Muzak? Or was it D, square dancers? Juveniles be gone. What successful technique was used for that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of November 24th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1897 that U.S. composer Virgil Thompson was born. His operas are among his best-known works, including 1947's The Mother of Us All, based on the life of Susan B. Anthony. And it was 39 years ago today, 1984, that several British and American stars got together as Band Aid and recorded Do They Know It's Christmas? The project was planned by Bob Geldof. The proceeds of the record went to Ethiopian Famine Relief. It sold about 2.5 million copies by the end of the year and raised £8 million. And in country music news, we have this article titled, Chris Stapleton Digs Deep. The most gifted pure singer in country music is predictably dazzling on his soulful fifth album. This is published in Rolling Stone magazine, November 2023 issue by Jonathan Bernstein. The name of the new album is called Higher. When rock and pop A-listers have needed a world-class country singer to appear on their songs over the past few years, they've often called Chris Stapleton, and of all his famous collaborators, Adele feels like the most relevant model on Higher, Stapleton's fifth studio LP and perhaps the finest showcase of the singer's once-in-a-generation voice. Like Adele, Stapleton is an R&B balladeer at heart, and like his British contemporary, he's found ways as his career progresses to move past simple soul belting and take his voice to new places with each new record. There are a few barely perceptible tweaks on the tried-and-true formula Stapleton has perfected with producer Dave Cobb over their near decade of record-making. Higher is the first album in which Stapleton had a hand in writing every single song, and the record marks the debut co-producer credit for his longtime secret weapon and wife, Margaret Stapleton. At times, Stapleton's latest feels like a more mature, seasoned sequel to his multi-platinum 2015 debut, Traveler. 14 songs, many of them redemptive ballads and breezy California country rock. Stapleton even brought back Whiskey and You, co-writer Lee Thomas Miller, for The Bottom, a devastating alcoholic's lament that once again finds Stapleton in his wheelhouse singing about Jim Beam desperation. Elsewhere, generous adult statements like The Day I Die and Trust convey a hard-won peace full of typical middle-age wisdom the protagonists on Traveler were so desperately after. If this album has its own Tennessee whiskey moment, it comes on Higher, a slow-burning stunner that finds Stapleton's voice traversing planets and stars, moving from low-register croon to soaring falsetto to shouting growl in the span of 4 minutes. And there's White Horse, his latest song with seismonic frontman, Traveler, collaborator, and, you guessed it, Adele co-writer Dan Wilson. Stapleton singing at full blast, reinforcing the turbulence of the relationship he's singing about. But what Stapleton is singing about, from repentant drinking to lasting love, has never been more important than the way he's singing. His voice has always been his foremost storytelling device, and that's never been more clear than it is on Higher. The best evidence yet for the way one man's voice has become synonymous with the very idea of a musical genre. And in classical music news, we have this article titled, The 20 Most Prestigious Music Degree Programs in the World. This is published in OnlineSchoolCenter.com. It starts with a quote by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, "Music is the universal language of mankind." Musicians will tell the aspiring artist that music education hinges upon the nature and quality of the relationship between teacher and student. The experienced artist does not merely pass on knowledge, but most importantly, the musical mentor expresses his or her love and fidelity to musical form and expression, thereby helping to direct students in the forming and expression of this same language, refracted and transposed through their own cultures and experiences. In identifying schools for this list, a primary consideration was faculty-to-student ratio. Along with this criterion, faculty acceptance rate, the age of the school, general reputation, the music school's links to musical tradition, as well as alumni success were considered. Interestingly, as will be made clear in what follows, low student-to-faculty ratio more often than not coincided with the other criteria of identification. The following are the top best music schools in the world, starting with number one, the Juilliard School. Juilliard, founded in 1905 and located in Upper West Side Manhattan, New York, is one of the most widely recognized names in higher music education, both in the United States and worldwide. Indeed, it's considered as the best music school in USA, so much so that it's synonymous with excellence in music. Both competitive and diverse, with an accepted rate of just under 7%, 6.7, Juilliard boasts of very gifted, motivated, and high-achieving artists, comprising a student body of around 600 from 40 different countries. With a student-to-faculty ratio of 3-1, each student musician has direct access to faculty musicians and instructors. Juilliard confers several degrees. On the undergraduate level, Juilliard offers either a Bachelor of Music or Diploma program. Graduate degrees offered are Master of Music, Graduate Diploma, Artist Diploma, and Doctor of Music. Yo-Yo Ma and Bernard Herrmann are two examples of a long list of illustrious alumni. Instrumentalist alumni constitute 50% or more of Lincoln Center's and New York City's established orchestras, and approximately 20% of the members of America's Big Five ensembles. Juilliard alumni have collectively won more than 105 Grammy Awards, 62 Tony Awards, 47 Emmy Awards, 26 Bessie Awards, 24 Academy Awards, 16 Pulitzer Prizes, and 12 National Medals for the Arts. In a Juilliard versus Berkeley discussion, we must say that Juilliard will win because of its exceptional alumni, as well as its unparalleled programs. Music students are exposed to a wide range of disciplines and inspirations, thanks partly to the fact that its dance, drama, and music departments are all in one building. The intense creative vibe that instructors and students generate contribute to a conducive, if competitive, energy for an exceptional education in music, too. Plus, it doesn't hurt either that a majority of the full-time undergraduate students receive substantial financial aid. And coming in at number two is the Curtis Institute of Music. Located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and founded in 1924, Curtis Institute of Music is one of the best music schools in the U.S. Its alumni include musicians such as Leonard Bernstein and Lang Lang. One of the most highly competitive music schools, accepting below 5% of applicants, a small student body, 165 students, have the opportunity to work closely with Curtis's decorated faculty, 99 faculty members, linking students to past great masters. The opportunity to learn music with the guidance of accomplished musicians in a close-knit community of like-minded individuals make it among the best music colleges in the world. Although admission is difficult to secure, Curtis is uncommon in that tuition is always completely free of charge. Only Yale School of Music, another member of this list, Colburn School of Music in L.A., and the Academy of Vocal Arts in Philadelphia offer that same benefit to students. Curtis offers several programs of study, the Diploma for Post-Secondary School Students, the Bachelor of Music, which takes 3 to 5 years, the Professional Study Certificate, and Post-Baccalaureate Diploma and Master of Music tracks, which may be completed in 2 to 3 years. Coming in at number three is the Berklee College of Music. Founded in 1945, Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, could be said to be renowned equally for its distinctive philosophy of music as for the college's striking success. Where is Berklee in the rankings? Well, the Berklee School of Music ranking is always in the top five of any ranking, oftentimes second only to Juilliard. But unlike Juilliard, with its emphasis on the classical arts, Berklee is a distinctly contemporary music school. Its philosophy holds that music can be best taught through the music of the time. As such, the Berklee College of Music ranking can be number one if contemporary arts are exclusively considered. This modern approach to marrying surrounding culture with musical composition and expression has resulted in alumni winning more than 250 Grammys and, for example, Howard Shore, multiple Oscars. Among the Berklee College of Music notable alumni are Joey Kramer and Brad Whitford of Aerosmith, Kenzie and Wayne Sermon of Imagine Dragons. Although larger than many of the other schools present in this list, with a 606 faculty and almost 4,200 students, and accepting a higher percentage of applicants than most of the other finest music schools, 35% acceptance rate, this seems to have in no way diminished Berklee's prestige and its draw. Remember that the fairly high Berklee School of Music acceptance rate doesn't detract from its outstanding use of technology in music composition. No other music college has the same commitment to contemporary writing concepts, music synthesis, and music engineering than Berklee. Berklee offers both undergraduate and graduate programs with a wide diversity of subjects. Many undergraduate majors are offered, including, but not limited, to composition, music therapy, film scoring, jazz composition, and music business and management. Graduate courses of study include contemporary performance in jazz, global entertainment, and music business, music production, technology and innovation, music therapy, scoring for film, television, and video games. Berklee also provides accessibility to non-traditional students through a well-developed online program which allows students to earn a degree or a certificate in music at a distance. Coming in at number four, the Royal Academy of Music, Britain's oldest music conservatoire, is located in London, England. It is one of the finest places to study music. Founded in 1822 and now a constituent college of the University of London, the Royal Academy has a ratio of almost 2-1 student to faculty. And at number five, Conservatoire de Paris. The Conservatoire de Paris in Paris, France, is the oldest school of music on our list, but it isn't just its 225-plus age that makes it among the most famous music schools in the world. Founded in the context of the French Revolution in 1795, the Conservatoire has served to be a center of innovation in music education, aiming to provide musical education to the greatest number possible. Offering both undergraduate and graduate degree programs, students at the Conservatoire de Paris join a marvelous music heritage, including Debussy, Ravel, Saint-Saëns, Berlioz, Boulez, and Messiaen. Other ranked schools included Eastman School of Music, Yale School of Music, USC Thornton School of Music, University of Music and Performing Arts in Vienna, New England Conservatory, Jacobs School of Music in Indiana, the Oberlin Conservatory of Music, Moscow Conservatory, the Manhattan School of Music, the Hochschule für Musik Hans Eisler, the Sibelius Academy, the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London, the Mainz School of Music, the Peabody Institute in Washington, D.C., and the Cleveland Institute of Music in Ohio. In rock and pop music news, we have this article titled, Grammy Nominees You Need to Hear. This is written by John Pareles, chief pop music critic, New York Times, on the 10th of November, 2023. Like a lot of critics in and out of music, I'm pretty skeptical about award shows. That's not just because they rarely agree with my own taste. Award shows have conflicted agendas and contradictory incentives. They trump artistic integrity but crave star power. They claim accountant-verified objectivity but often appear cliquish and stuck in industry bubbles. The one thing that makes me indulge the Grammys is an aspect that infuriates some other Grammy observers, the chronic sprawl of awards categories. There are 94 this year. That's a lot, but fine. Let 100 flowers bloom. The Recording Academy is forever trying to trim and adjust those categories, consolidating or renaming or expanding the list. But music keeps eluding them, changing styles and constituencies while little Grammy voter pools hopefully form. It's complicated, fluid, arbitrary, far from perfect. What exactly is quote-unquote alternative jazz, one of this year's new categories? But down in the trenches of concert bookings, Grammy winning can make a bigger difference for someone on a club or college tour than for an act with radio hits and arena gigs. I regularly watch the pre-Grammy, non-network, on-primetime Grammy premiere live stream. Just go to live.grammy.com or YouTube, where the unsung majority of Grammy Awards are given out before the primetime show. They're dorky and unpolished. Some winners read their thank yous from their cell phones, and they don't always have designer outfits. So here are some down-category Grammy nominees who are unlikely to show up in primetime. That Amplifier playlist includes Kylie Minogue, Padam Padam, and Alison Russell, Eve Was Black, and Jason Isbell, Cast Iron Skillet, Molly Tuttle in Golden Highway, El Dorado, Betty Levette, Hard to Be a Human, and Blind Boys of Alabama, Work Until My Days Are Done. And Taney, featuring Bad Bunny and Julieta Venegas, Lo Siento, BB. And Davido, featuring Musa Keys, Unavailable. Pirelli says they're not necessarily popular, though some were huge hits, or fashionable, but they're all worthy of another listen, and possibly put on your own playlist. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which country has the city with the highest per capita ownership of pianos? Is that in A, China, B, USA, C, Germany, or D, Italy? Correct answer? Answer A, China. As noted in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Plunges into Music, off the coast of Xiamen City, China, is the small island of Gulangyu, with a population of around 20,000, also called Piano Island, or the Island of Music. The Chinese name for the island literally means Drum Waves Islet, after the sound the waves make on the island's reef. But Piano Island is best known for its piano museum, the largest in China, which has a collection of antique pianos, from miniature pianos and player pianos to circular pianos and accordion-style ones. Island residents also personally own more than 600 pianos. That's a piano in one out of every five homes, more per capita than anywhere else on Earth. Many of China's most famous pianists grew up here, including Cheng Zongyin, who in 1967 set up a piano in Tiananmen Square and started playing in defiance of the communist government's decree that piano playing was illegal. And the answer to our second question, what did 7-Eleven stores in Canada and the USA use to keep juveniles from loitering in their stores? Was it A, air raid sirens? Was it B, frying Brussels sprouts? Was it C, Muzak? Or was it D, square dancers? Correct answer? Answer C, Muzak. As noted in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Plunges into Music, 7-Elevens in British Columbia, Canada, and Seattle, Washington, use Muzak to keep juveniles from loitering in front of their stores. The tactic has proved quite effective, but it drives Muzak nuts. I'm opposed to a negative use of a positive thing in our lives, company official Tom Evans complains. If they want to torture people, why don't they just blast air raid sirens? According to one survey, more than 75% of Americans recognize the Muzak name, making the trademark as big a brand word as Coca-Cola, Kleenex, and Xerox. The bad news? More than 50% of the respondents in that same survey said they don't like listening to it. Andy Warhol, meanwhile, claimed Muzak was his favorite music. The canned background music we hear in elevators and in the malls as we approach Black Friday got its name in the 1930s as a takeoff on Kodak. So let's close out today's program with 10cc's tribute to shopping, the Wall Street Shuffle. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time. And happy Black Friday.